Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to be with you this afternoon and looking forward to going into God's Word to see what He has to say concerning the questions that are on your mind. This is a live call and radio broadcast, so go ahead and pick up your phones and call in your questions. The number to call right now is 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564, and we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. God's Word has all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, and so we need to go there for our answers. We don't need to go to men, we don't need to go to women, we don't need to go to our mama or daddy. We go to the Word of God and hear what He has to say on our questions. And so we encourage you right now to go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now, if you'd rather, you can text us. We have a text line that is at this number. That is 843-725-9283. If you'd like to text in your question, now is the chance for you to do that. We'll be glad to deal with your question from God's Word on today's broadcast. So don't miss out on that as well. Today is July the 7th. We're glad to be able to be in your presence via the radio. And we hope and pray that God Himself will also be willing to find the answer, or that you'll be willing to find the answer from God's Word as we let the Bible speak. The questions that you may have, we will go to the Bible. And thus, you are the one that sets the topic of discussion during this radio broadcast. You also control the flow of questions, but God's Word is where we're going to go for the answer. So God is going to give the answer, and our prayer and our hope is that we will just stay out of God's way and allow God to be able to answer all the questions that pertain to life and godliness in your life. Now, if you have friends or relatives that are out of town, and you would like them also to be part of this broadcast today, go ahead and call them and let them know that they can tune in via the Internet. We have a live stream button at our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com. They can just hit the live stream, and they can join us from anywhere in the world. So let them know right now, at the beginning of the program now, so they can join us. And they, too, can text with that website. On that same web page, they can go down to the bottom and type their question, and it will come here to the radio station, into the studio right here, and we will be able to deal with their question as well on this broadcast today. Again, the website is BibleAlone.com. So if you'd rather, you can call with your voice. Our voice line is now open. Both lines are available, 308-9564. Again, this is always area code 843-308-9564, but both voice lines are available right now. Or, if you'd rather text, you can text at 725-9283. We sure appreciate your taking out time in your Sunday afternoon to join us right now. And as we go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Our reason behind this radio broadcast is to get people to God's Word, because that's what we're going to be judged with one day. And thus, we've got to make certain that we hear what God has to say rather than man, even though that it is our voice going over the radio, it is God's words that you will be hearing as we read from Thus Says the Lord.
So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564. And you can ask your question to the operator, or you can decide if you want to go live and ask your question. And we would put you live on the air and do our best, again, just to let the Word of God speak. Now, we know that many of you have reached out to us and you've taken advantage of our Bible Correspondence course, the Bible course that we send to you in the mail free of charge. So throughout the course of our broadcast, we're going to make mention of this correspondence course that's available to you. We want to encourage you to not only take advantage of it, but as you go through the course, looking at the scriptures in the Bible, seeing what the Lord has to say, to make the necessary changes in your life. That's the purpose behind this broadcast, the purpose behind those materials. It is to help us be more like the God that we're trying to serve. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So as we go through and study God's word, if we see that there is something that's different in it than what we've been taught or what we've heard or what we've come to know over a period of time, then we must be willing to change. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We have to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our soul. But it can only save our soul if we receive it. And so we want to encourage you this hour in that. We want you to take advantage of the correspondence course that we're going to be talking about coming up. It's free of charge. And so, you know, don't hesitate to sign up for this course. It's going to be a help to you in your study of God's word. And we want to say thank you to the many of listeners that have taken advantage of it. And we're hoping that it's been a blessing to you, an encouragement to you. Many of you have reached out to us to let us know how that it has impacted your lives. And many of you have actually changed your behavior. So now you walk differently as a result of studying God's word and learning more about what he has to say. Go ahead and call right now. Lines are available, 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. As Ricky mentioned earlier, we do have a text line that's available to you, so you can text us if you prefer. That text number is 725-9283. Again, that's 725-9283.
Now, we also want you to be aware of, we're going to go to the Bible just for the answer itself. You do not want to hear our answer. And if by chance we happen to come up with something that is different than what you read in God's word, then please know that we do not want you to take our word for anything. Galatians chapter 1, matter of fact, warns us. It says that Paul, as he wrote by inspiration, said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, if it was wrong for an angel in heaven to teach something different, if it was wrong for Paul, the actual one that God was using to write those things, if it's wrong for him to come up with something different, well, then it is certainly wrong for us to come up with something different than what God's word says. We do not want to receive that curse, which is a mighty curse. It was like a super curse, is the actual meaning of the word anathema. And so we do not want to call that down upon us. And certainly we do not want it to be called down upon you if you were to believe something that we taught different than God's word. So we make no apology. When it comes down to getting the answers, we're going to go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. So please, get your Bibles ready, paper, pencil, write the verses down, look them up for yourself. Do not take our word. I repeat, do not take our word for anything that God's word or any answer that we give up other than what God's word says. Let's go to the Bible for all the answers. Now, the lines are available, and now's your opportunity to call in your question. Many times, those of you that listen every week know how many times the questions pile up at the end of the broadcast. And thus, that enables, causes us sometimes to have to hold the question over to the next week. So I know there's many of you that are just now getting out of church services around town. And so please go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now, we've made this offer from time to time concerning in-home Bible studies. But that's also something that we make available to our listening audience. And so if there are those out there who desire an in-home Bible study, we would absolutely be available as much as our schedule will permit to come and to sit with you, a group of you, maybe your family members, and to have a study of God's word right there in your home. You might consider it and let the Bible speak right there in your home, where you can ask questions, and we go to God's word for those answers. We'll talk about the gospel. There is an importance to the study of God's word. The Bible describes a group of people in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, in verse 11, as being more fair-minded or more noble, depending upon your translation, because they were ready to receive the word. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more fair-minded, talking about those at Berea, than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so here's some folks that actually received the word, that they wanted the word, and what they did to prove that was they searched the scriptures daily to make sure the things that were being taught was actually true. We encourage you to participate in a Bible study like that, and we can make ourselves available to come and participate with you in that. But in addition, as we go through the course of our study today on today's broadcast, make sure you're searching these scriptures out. Make sure you go see them for yourself. Show yourself to be of more noble mind, to make sure the things that we say are true. And don't just hold us to that, but hold everyone else to that. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have a caller texting in this question. They want to know, was Acts 2:17 fulfilled by the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD? Well, I commend the questioner to know even about that 70 AD destruction. That is good. I appreciate your knowledge in that, and a very good question. Thank you. Their question is based upon Acts 2 and verse 17, where the very first sermon was taught by Peter there on the day of Pentecost, and they were being accused of being drunk with wine, and Peter is standing up and explaining to them that they're not drunk with wine. It's just the 9 o'clock in the morning or third hour of the day. And then he explains, here is what it is. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And, quote, verse 17, and it will come to pass in the last days that God will pour out of his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And he goes on continuing, quoting from Joel and making the application. Well, I would encourage you to note that what he said there as the in verse 16, it says, this is what that was spoken by Joel. So he is saying this is happening right now. So it wasn't 70 AD. It was there on that day of Pentecost, the day the church began. That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, both Jews and Gentiles. And thus that began, if you will, the dominoes of what God had planned for the beginning of his kingdom, his church. He goes on in that lesson. You'll see that he talks about that Jesus is raised up, that he is king. He's sitting on his throne. It's not David that was raised up. He's raised up. And now we have got to know that he is Lord and Christ, verse 36. And when we do, then we are to respond by, verse 38, repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins. And thus we can see that that is how it all unfolds. And he's explaining that that's what's taking place here and now. So it happened a few decades, actually, before 70 A.D. And so we sure do appreciate that question very much. And that is the day the church began, and that is a very significant day, and that's what we are to try and be like. Thank you so much for your question. Thank you for your scripture questions that you've given over and over and over again. Thank you very much. Again, it's time for us to take our first break. We want you to know that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is a live Q&A. You ask the questions, the answers will come from God's Word. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. And we're so excited that you have an interest in knowing what God has to say concerning life and godliness. My friend, that's the Bible is the only place that we can go to find out the true answers. Oh, there's a lot of false answers. There's a lot of wrong answers. There's probably a lot of answers that seem right, but the true place to find the truth that pertains to life and godliness is God's Word. And thus, this program is devoted to that attention, and that is we're going to go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. So go ahead and call in your question right now concerning your thought, your question that you have concerning this life or serving God or godliness. Right now, 308-9564, the lines are available. We're getting text questions, but the voice line has so far not rung. So go ahead and now's your chance to call in your question, 308-9564, or those of want to text, you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a text question. The last three digits is 242. We sure appreciate your text question. The texter says, you know, my pastor won't marry divorced people. And so here is, I guess, a couple that may be divorced, and they want to get married. And the pastor, and I'm going to take what you mean when you say pastor, your preacher, will not marry them. When we say marry, we're just talking about performing the ceremony. Because the truth of the matter is the Lord is the one that do the joining. What we do here on earth is we perform the ceremony. And so a commitment is made between two individuals. A individual, be it a preacher or a pastor or whoever, it's well within their rights to decide whether or not they're willing to perform anybody's ceremony. So that is completely their option. I can't explain why he would not want to do so, except from one perspective, and that is it may be that his perception is that once a person is divorced, they don't have a right to being married. And the Bible does seem to bear that out, that depending upon the circumstance, that a person may not have a right to be married. So Matthew chapter 19 would be where I would go. Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 9 it says, and here's Jesus talking. He says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. So it may be, you know, that it's one of these situations where a person got divorced for a reason other than sexual immorality, and now they're trying to get married. And the Bible says if they were to get married, they commit adultery. And so it may be that he doesn't want to participate in that. And the Bible goes on to say that whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And so that may be his motivation. One other passage that may be helpful is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, Paul says in verse 10, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So he says, here's what the Lord says. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a wife is not to divorce, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. So there may be another reason as to why your preacher does not want to participate in this, because he understands what God's law says concerning this idea of getting divorced. God does not want the wife to depart from her husband, and he doesn't want the husband to put away his wife. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. The choice is yours of how to communicate. The questions, they're from you as well. And we will be more than happy to go to the Bible for the answer. For example, the question that we have right now before us is, if a family member, this is from the phone number 609 at the end of the phone number, if a family member stays with a man not being married and needs money for finance, should we as Christians give it to them? Well, there's two things to consider. First of all, if it is a relationship of sin, there is a sinful relationship, if that is the case where that is taking place, well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it uses the word fellowship, or it says in verse 2 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, and what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as the Lord has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Okay, you might wonder, how does that answer the question? The word fellowship there in the passage deals with a mutual participation together. And so if that relationship that you're referring to is built upon a practice of sin, and you actually contribute to that, then you are guilty also of being in fellowship with that sinful practice. Now, if it's just a family member that's not built upon or centered around a sinful activity of any kind, well, then, yeah, we are to take care of our family. We are to assist them if they are in need. Now, the word need, as according to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7, it says, having food and raiment, therewith we should be content. And so if they're in need of food, they're starving to death. That doesn't mean good food or restaurant food. Or they don't have a stitch of clothes to wear. Well, then by all means, help them. That is something that we should be doing. But if they've got the ability to work, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 10, says, if a man is not willing to work, neither should he eat. And so those are three principles that may be helpful to that. We can't help in wrong, that is to encourage somebody to do something wrong. And we've got to understand that the God's definition of what need is, food and raiment. That's also reflected in the passage about the anxieties of life described in Matthew chapter 6, again defined as food and raiment. So let's make certain that we're not trying to just cushion people. When you read the story of the prodigal son, you see that the prodigal did not come to himself until he would have eaten the swine food that he was feeding the swine with. And that's only when he came to his senses and straightened up. And notice the father did not send him a money order every now and then just to sustain his wasteful way of life. And neither should we encourage people to live a prodigal or wasteful life at all. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. We very much appreciate it very much. Again, the number is 308-9564, or the text line is 725-9283.
We have another text question coming in. The last three digits is 113. The question is, what is true spirituality? And so that's a very good question. I think the answer is probably going to fall into the category of something that's very broad. It's going to be as long as the day is, if you will, because the Bible really doesn't use the word spirituality. It doesn't use that as a word. It does talk about spiritual things, but I think I understand what you mean when you talk about spirituality. You're talking about it's a matter of life, a matter of spiritual life, and what is that in truth? And that's very broad. But it has a lot to do with doing what God says. And so I think that may be the answer. If we look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul talking to Christians at Corinth, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people." So there was a reason for that. He says, "But as to carnal," carnal means worldliness. He says, "as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal or worldly," or fleshly is the idea. "Where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" And so a contrast to spirituality is to be worldly. So we know that true spirituality is not being worldly or carnal or fleshly minded, but it is walking according to the things of God. And Paul is talking to Christians as he writes to the church at Corinth, and they were still engaged in very fleshly minded behavior. Also, perhaps another principle that may help us, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. So after giving a series of commands, Paul makes it clear to his audience that the things that he wrote was not the things that he wrote, but rather these things that came from God. He says in verse 37, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So part of true spirituality is to acknowledge or to recognize the things that come from the Lord, and it would suggest that I would do those things. When we start talking about true spirituality, we can touch on a lot of different things. It can include worship. And John 4:24 says that God is spirit, but those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it would include true spiritual worship to be truly spiritual. So it's very broad, but I think if you boil it down, you would walk away with one simple principle, that if I'm truly spiritual, then I'm going to do all the things that the Lord says, all those things that come from the Spirit. I'm going to walk in accordance with the Spirit. A good chapter to read is Romans chapter 8. talks about this idea of walking with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And just keep in mind that a person cannot be led by the Spirit unless they're willing to follow what he says. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. It's time for us to take another break, so even while we're at break, you can call in your questions. Again, 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. And you can go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. We want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course. Again, that's a free Bible study in your home, so you can sign up for that, yes, even today. So go ahead and call 553-5157, 553-5157, and sign up for the correspondence course. We'll send that to you in the mail, and it will be a help to you as you study God's Word. To join us here at the station, you can text your question in to 725-9283. I think another text just came in, 725-9283. Or if you would love to just call and ask your question of the operator, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
The voice line again is open, 308-9564. We have someone by the name of Steve calling in this question. The question is, how can we use passages from Psalms and Proverbs when the Old Testament is to vanish away? Well, they are exactly right. The Old Testament was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, verse 14, 15, 16, 17. It was just a shadow of things to come, that passage brings out. Galatians 5 and verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. And so we've got to make certain that we are understanding of that, that we'll not be standing in judgment today based upon what Moses gave or what God gave Moses in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, not just the law, but notice in Luke 24 and verse 44, where the inspired Holy Spirit wrote through Luke, says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That is, Jesus, he's quoting Jesus, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And so all of those things were fulfilled. A fulfillment means they served their purpose. Jesus was brought into the world and those things were nailed to the cross. Now, to answer his question, how is it that we can use those things? Well, again, let's let the Bible speak. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, those things that were written so long ago, it, just because we are not going to be judged by them as a law, does not mean they're not true. Something can be true, and yet at the same time, of no effect to us today. For example, to relate that, there's probably still a law on the books somewhere, as my recollection is, that there are laws on the books right now that you cannot drive a horseless carriage in town unless someone walks 15 feet in front of the horseless carriage waving a red flag. Now, I do not know anywhere that law is enforced, but it was a law for a day and a time and served a purpose, as you might well understand, during the time of horse and buggy days. And so that law is no longer in force, and the Old Testament is no longer in force. We now, not that the Old Testament is out of date, it served its purpose to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3, 4, and 5 bring out. But let me give you another reason why we're supposed to use those laws. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we can use that word basically the way the New Testament uses that word. We've already quoted, we learn patience and comfort of those scriptures. Listen how God used Paul to use those examples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, then these things happen as examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil as they also lusted. And then he goes on and mentions several examples that took place in the Old Testament. And he says these things were written, verse 11, these things, they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the world have been have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. So those things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. And there's many like passages like that in the New Testament that we can learn from those passages and thus be able to better serve the Lord under this new law of Christ. May I also recommend, while you're writing these down, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Then also you might want to look at all of Galatians chapters 3, 4, and 5. Romans chapter 7, the first 8 verses there also reference this. We cannot be married to under two covenants at one time, or we would be considered an adulterer. We cannot be married to two covenants at one time. We can only be married to Christ if we're going to be able to receive the blessings for which he came to save our souls. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Steve. There's many other passages that would apply to that. But yes, we are to sing, actually, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and that is part of the New Testament instructions as well. So we use it as the Bible says use it, and thus we're able to learn from God's wisdom. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. The lines are now available. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have another text question coming in. The text question says, is baptism required to enter the kingdom of God? Is baptism required to enter the kingdom of God? Well, when we look at the way Jesus refers to the kingdom in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus talks about the kingdom as being synonymous with that of the church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he's talking to Peter, and he says, and I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so when we look at verses 16 and 17, verses 18 and 19, we see the terms church and kingdom used interchangeably. We do see that baptism was going to be part of what was necessary for a person to do in order to enter into the church and thus enter into the kingdom. In Acts chapter 2, on verse 38, we see folks being told what they need to do. They were told in verse 38 to repent and to be baptized, every one of them. And so baptism was part of that plan. The Bible shows us very clearly that in verse 41, and those who gladly received his words were, in fact, baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added. So what were they added to? So we look at verse 47, and it lets us know. In verse 47, it says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so as a result of their obedience to the gospel, to be baptized, they were added to the church. And again, the church is the kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. There's an interesting passage in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 13, and where they talk about, where Paul talks about how Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us or transferred us into the kingdom. Or God did this. God transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. That's Colossians 1 and verse 13. Paul's writing to the church. He's writing to Christians, and he tells them that they have been transferred into the kingdom. Also, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John talks about him being in the kingdom. He said that he was their brother and patient in tribulation in the kingdom. So he was in the kingdom as well. And thus, when a person obeys the gospel, they are added to the church and they become part of the kingdom that Jesus brought to pass. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak.
We are glad that you have joined us this afternoon. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are available. Go ahead and call right now. 308-9564 is the voice line. Now, if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Let me remind our radio audience that our Bible correspondence course is available to you. And if you happen to call that number, there will be a recording to take your name and address, and we're more than happy to send the course to you free of charge. You very, very well may discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. You won't hear necessarily these things from the pulpit. Many times churches across the land cannot touch on these things because they are forbidden, because of the parameters that they must operate in due to their faith. They're man-made regulations that have been invented by the denomination that they're in. And so please know that you may discover some things in God's Word that you've never seen before. So go ahead and call. The number for the free course is 843-553-5157. That is the number for the Bible course to be sent to you, and we're more than happy to send it to you free of charge. So go ahead and call that number. If it's busy, just hang up and hit redial. You'll get through. 553-5157. We have a caller by the last three digits of 242 following up a question from earlier. Their question is, so what does a divorced couple do? Question mark. We don't want to live together. Why we can't get married? Question mark. I know a pastor who has been married three times. I might just join his church, but then I want to do the right thing. And so I'm sorry about the chuckle there, but if you think about that just for a second, what we tend to do is look at what man is condoning. And if we are trying to please man, then that kind of blessing will only come during this life. But if we're wanting to please God, who we will spend eternity with, what we have to do is see what God has to say. And so the passage of Scripture we mentioned earlier, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, you'll find your answer. You see, it is not, I know that when from our vantage point here in this life, we see a preacher joining two together and the man-made laws joining two together. But God says, what God hath joined together, let no man separate. We fail to take in the meaning of those words. When God himself is who joins two together, that takes the right to separate away from man. Because God is the one that ties them together. And no matter how much we scream and holler, we will not be able to change God's law. Now, let me give you a parallel situation. In Noah's day, Noah spent 100 years preaching the gospel as he and his boys built the ark. Well, when it came time for God to destroy the earth with a flood, they went into the ark, the animals went into the ark, and God shut the door. Now, don't you know that there were many, many, many of Noah's friends and probably many family members that were banging on the door saying, let me in? If you think about that, again, there's no verse that says that, but think about it. If you were one of Noah's friends and you heard him tell that outlandish story that there's a flood coming and you better get ready for it, and you'd never even seen it rain, so you thought he was crazy? Yeah, you see the point? When God says something, it's true. And when God says he's the one that joins two together, that's the fact. And we've got to understand he's the one that we have to ask permission to change that. He's the one that we have to go to modify that in any way. Okay, the passage again, take out your Bible, read it for yourself. Matthew chapter 19. Verses 3 through 12. And that's the end of that story. I hope that's helpful to you. Please don't have any kind of second thoughts about that. Remember, man doesn't have the right to break what God has set in order. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know that you are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take advantage of this Bible correspondence course that we're about to tell you. And we'll get that in the mail to you tomorrow, so don't miss out on this. It is a correspondence course you can study anytime you want, day or night. You can do it anytime you want, and then just fill it out, send it back to us. We'll grade it and send the following lessons to you. I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds that we've sent out, and we've not gotten some of yours back. So pick it up off the table, wipe the dust off, fill it out, and send it to us. We're more than happy to help you to learn more about what God has said. Again, that number, here's the information on that. But go ahead and continue to call in your questions, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're so glad that you have joined us and all of you that have enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course. We're just thankful that you have chosen to find out what God has to say rather than what man has fed us through the years. And so, again, we do not want to give you anything but book, chapter, and verse as we let the Bible speak. That says something about your heart. Those of y'all that have already enrolled, go ahead and continue to call in, and we'll be glad to send the Bible course to you. That number is 553-5157. So don't miss out on that. We'll be glad to send that to you even in tomorrow's mail. And we will be glad to help you with that, grading them and sending them back to you as you study through that course. Those of you that have a Bible question, our voice line has been kind of slow today, and so the text line has been very busy. And so please know that we do have an operator standing by here at the radio station, and he can take your information, your question, and have it written down and brought into us. Or you can go live over there. Did we mention that? If you have a question you'd like to ask over the air, you can go live. The only thing we ask is that you give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down once we start talking so there will not be a confusing echo. Again, the voice line is available at 308-9564, 308-WJNI. The text line always stays available at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
I do. We have someone calling in about tithing. They want some New Testament scriptures on tithing. So hopefully you have your pen ready. So you have Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, Matthew 23 and 23. Then you also have Luke 11:42, where Jesus is chastising the Pharisees for as much as they tithe, and according with the law of Moses, they did not keep the weightier matters of the law. And so that's his chastisement to them. You have Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, where you have this individual that thinks he's pretty good, and he talks about what he's done in keeping the law, that is to say, the law of Moses. Luke 18 and verse 12. And then you have Hebrews chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. And I think that talks about perhaps Melchizedek and how that he received a tithe from Abraham. And again, that predates the law of Moses. So what you have in these passages, in the New Testament passages, is either talking about tithing that was done under the law of Moses or a tithing that was done by Abraham to Melchizedek. Now, the real question is, does that apply to you and I today? Well, we are not bound by the relationship that Abraham had with Melchizedek, and we are not bound by the law of Moses. So the Bible lets us know that that law was taken out of the way. The Bible says Christ nailed it to the cross in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. And so we're not bound by the law of Moses. We are bound by the New Testament law concerning giving. And so when you look at the New Testament law concerning giving, what you do not find is the church being told to tithe, but rather they were told to give as God has prospered them, to give from the heart. God loves a cheerful giver. The passages that come to mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8 in that area. And so those are where the church was told how to give, and thus that's how we give today. But we do not give in according with the law of Moses. We do not give in accordance with how Abraham gave to Melchizedek. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. If you prefer to text in your question, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. They want to know, should we try to convert others? Well, let's just look and see what the Bible says about that. And as Jesus gets with his apostles after his death, after his burial, after his resurrection, he is continues to show up a number of different times and teaching situations where he at one point appeared to over 500 at once, 1 Corinthians 15 brings out. But right before he ascends back to heaven to see them no more, he gives them these final instructions. Now, before I read this, please know that these are his words of instructions given to his disciples, and including the apostles and other disciples. He told them, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if he's got all authority, how much do we have today? Exactly. He's got it all. And then notice he does not tell them. He does not tell them to go build hospitals. He does not tell them to go build church buildings or youth programs or even whole life centers or create sports teams. He doesn't tell them to go out and feed all the poor and the hungry in the world. What he tells them to do is go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, those of y'all that just wrote down that passage, right beside it, go ahead and write Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. There's Mark's account, and Mark adds belief to that list. So they're supposed to make disciples. People are supposed to believe this and be baptized. Mark also says, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Then Luke, in Luke 24, verse 46 and 47, we see that Luke adds repentance and the remission of sins to the list, and that they were to begin this whole process in Jerusalem. And so when you get all of that together, you see exactly what the story was. Here's your question from the last three digits of your phone number, 113. Should we try to convert others? Well, what do you think the Bible is saying to us? Yeah, that's right. Yes, that is our mission in life. That is what should define us as a Christian, because that's why Jesus came, Luke 19:10, to seek and save the lost. And when you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 1 through 4, you see that that's what defined the New Testament Christians. As they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere teaching and preaching the word. So, yep, that's pretty clear. We should do everything we can to help people to be converted to God. Yeah, not to the church, to God. Yes, not the preacher. To God, not the family. We could do this all day, couldn't we? We are to be converted to serving the Most High God according to his truth, not the truth that some man or group of men or some organization tells us what is truth. We've got to find it in God's word ourselves. Yes, that's what we've got to do. We've got to let the Bible speak. Thank you so much for your question. Thank you very much, and we sure appreciate that. That's the kind of question I really like to answer. Thank you. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are available, 308-9564. We still have time. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. You know, it just dawned on me that today is the first Sunday of the month, so many of y'all are just now getting out because of an extended service in reference to many of you have communion service on Sunday. You might have a question about that. Is it proper for it to be just on the first Sunday of the month? What book, chapter, and verse? If you want to ask that question, you go ahead and ask it right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, Solomon calls in. Solomon says, why is a man cutting his hair bald in 1 Corinthians 11? And so, why is a man cutting his head bad in 1 Corinthians 11? I'm sorry, I misread it. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm not so sure it's saying that a man cutting his head is bad. in this text. And so let's try to at least pick up some of the verses. The verse is about authority. And in verse 3, it says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor his head." So in, pertaining to the man in this text, he says that if his head is covered and he prays or prophesies, having his head covered, he is dishonoring his head. And the previous verse said his head is Christ. So it would be a dishonor to Christ for a man to pray with his head covered. We look a little bit further. It talks about the woman that it would be a dishonor for her to pray or prophesy having her head uncovered. And verse 5 says, "But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head." And according to verse 3, that would be man. Man is her head. And thus, when she prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, she would be dishonoring her head. The Bible says, "For that is one and the same as if her head were shaven." It would be like her being shaven if she was to pray or prophesy with her head uncovered. So he continues on in this text, and he talks about this idea of a covering, what's not a covering. And in giving some illustrations, he makes a point that what appears in nature. In verse 14, he says, "Does not nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him?" And so kind of separate and apart from your question says, why is cutting his head bad? I don't think the text is saying that. The idea, though, if he has long hair, you know, that would be bad. It says even in nature we see that a man should not have long hair. And then the idea of, he should not pray or prophesy with his head covered because that would be dishonoring his head. So that was the idea or the sense of this text. And I'm not going to go much deeper into this text because this is one of those texts you have to sit down and study. But to your question, I don't think the text is talking about a man cutting his head as being bad. In fact, that's not in this text. In fact, just the opposite is true, that a man should not have long hair, that a man should not cover his head while praying or prophesying. I encourage you to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You may try a different translation. Sometimes it gets tricky with some of the older translation, like the King James, because it uses a lot of words that we don't use commonly today. But I hope that's been helpful to you. Thanks so much for calling in that question. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. If you prefer to text in your question, you can. Go ahead and text that question into 725-9283. Again, that's 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Again, we appreciate so much you joining us today, and we hope that all the things that we're sharing with you is a help to you as you continue to study God's Word. We make mention of the Bible Correspondence Course that's available to you, so go ahead and call 553-5157 and sign up for that course. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. I believe we have a live caller standing by. Go ahead,
yes,
call it.
Jamari. Jamari, are you there? Oh, we can't hear you. Go ahead and speak. Jamari, hold on a second. Let's make certain that we're trying to work out something. Go ahead and be speaking to us. Uh-oh.
Okay, we may have
some technical.
If you'd like to make a call.
Oh, they hung
up.
Okay, all right. Okay, it's him again.
He's calling back. Okay.
All right.
Not yet.
Hello?
All right. Yes, okay, now we got you. How can we help you? Go ahead and turn your radio down so that there won't be a confusion, and just listen through the telephone and go ahead and ask your question.
Why do they do communion every first Sunday?
Okay. All right. That is a good question, and we wish we knew the answer to that. Because the Bible does not give an answer for that. What the Bible brings out is that the New Testament church, had the communion every first day of the week. And so go ahead and, if you will, turn your radio down, and that way there won't be any confusion. So go ahead. If in Acts chapter 20, well, first Corinthians chapter 11 would be the first place to go, where it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you
proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
There we go. Thank you. And so it didn't say how often in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so the only way that we can figure out how often they did that is to look at Paul's example. He said in the very first verse of that chapter, be followers of me just as I am also of Christ. So we've got to find his example. And when we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says upon the first day of the, it doesn't say month, it says first day of the week. First day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. That's why they came together. That was the purpose of them coming together. And that should be the purpose of us coming together. Now, every week has a first day in it. Now, on our calendar, we call it Sunday, and that would be today. But not because it's the first Sunday of the month, because it's the first day of the week that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper. Does that help you there, son? Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the Bible church, the church you read about in the Bible, they did it weekly, not monthly. We sure do appreciate you calling, and you're having the courage to ask your question in person. And so thank you so much. We hope you'll listen every week.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you again for calling, and thank you for listening. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564 is the voice line. If you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
Yeah, Patricia calls in. She says, how do we know which church to attend with so many available? Well, Patricia, that's a very good question. I will augment this question by saying that when we read the scriptures, God does not give us the impression that there's so many available. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew, and so we'll start there, Matthew chapter 16, and verse 18 or 16 through 18, he talks about building his church. And we notice a personal pronoun that he used there. He says in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. So Jesus said he was going to build his church. He only built one. And so if I'm going to be part of the church that Jesus Christ built, then I need to go and look for the church that has those characteristics. And so, well, how can I know what those churches look like? And so what you have in the Bible, you have the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, it shows every example where a person obeyed the gospel and they were saved. And then we also see the establishment of the church. And so in that, we see what these Christians, these early Christians, continued in. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that these Christians actually continue in specific activities. I think was mentioned earlier, they did not continue in recreation. They did not continue in just fun, but rather they continued in very specific spiritual activities. The Bible shows us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. And so you want to find a place that's actually teaching the word of God. They continue steadfastly in fellowship. And so there was a sharing or joint participation that they had, this fellowship. And this fellowship was a spiritual fellowship as well. It did not have anything to do with sitting around in a building and eating a sandwich together. But this was a spiritual sharing or joint participation. The Bible goes on to say they continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. That represents the Lord's Supper. We just talked about Acts 20 and verse 7, and we saw that the early church did that on the first day of the week. They came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. And so you want to go and find a church that's doing that every first day of the week, again, according to the example that we see in the scripture. And then they continue in prayers. And so what you have in the book of Acts is what the early church continued in. Now, from Romans through Revelation, what you have are letters written to the churches telling them or instructing them on the things that they needed to do. And you'll find in those letters written to the church at Corinth, letters written to the church at Thessalonica, letters written to the church at Ephesus and Philippi, instructing them on how they were to live and how they were to give and how they were to change. And so what you have to do is to look at those letters that were written to the churches and the instructions that were given them, and you go and you find a church that is meeting those standards. Now, I realize that's a lot of study. So we're willing to help you in that we're willing to sit down with you and study with you the church that we read of in the Bible. We'll sit down with you. We open up God's Word. We'll show you the scriptures associated with what the church that Jesus Christ built looks like. And then you'll have those scriptures. You'll have that knowledge to go out and find a church that's doing what you can read of in the Bible. If that's something that you would be interested in, just go ahead and call 553-5157. Just make mention on the recording that you heard the radio program and you're interested in learning more about the church that Jesus Christ built, and we will make an opportunity to come out and visit with you. Again, that's 553-5157. To all our listeners, this is open to you as well. But again, our encouragement is to go into the books of Acts through Revelation and look at the church that Jesus Christ built and make sure your church look like the one that you read of in the scriptures. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We're about to get down to the last few minutes of our radio program, so don't miss out on these questions. They're coming in and stacking up, so we're going to do our best to get through all of them right now. Again, the number is 308-9564. There's time for your question to get in to call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. This caller called in this question. One of our leaders states that he is an apostle. How does one gain such a status? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, God brings out through Paul, he says, he's defending his apostleship. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. And thus he makes defense of his apostleship there in that passage. He goes on to talk about some other things as well. What does that seal that he's talking about? Well, in Acts 8:18, it brings out that an apostle was the only one that had the ability to be able to lay hands on. It says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Thus, that shows us the apostles only had that ability to impart the power, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. And the apostle had to have seen the risen Lord. And then when you compare that with Acts chapter 1, as they selected a man to replace Judas, that's exactly what they looked for, was a person who had seen the risen Lord, the Lord resurrected. And so please know that there are no apostles today based upon that criteria that we just saw in 1 Corinthians 9 and Acts 8:18 and Acts chapter 1. Thank you so much for your question. We hope and pray that that has been beneficial to you. Again, the number 308-9564. The calls are rolling in, but please do not give up. We will try our best to get all these answered today. 308-9564. Nick?
Clayton calls in today. Clayton says, what's the difference between the tabernacle and the temple? A tabernacle, another word for tabernacle, is a tent. And this is the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the Levites would tend to it. And they would, and then the people, the whole congregation of Israel, could come before the tent, and this is where they could worship God. And so this tent was movable, and they could move it from place to place. The temple is just an unmovable tabernacle. And so the Ark of the Covenant would be found in the temple, and it would be set up much like the tabernacle was set up. It was just, it was not movable. I hope that's helpful to you, Clayton. We sure appreciate you calling in this question. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
And we have another caller calling in this question. Should we hurt others physically? Well, if you lived in the Old Testament time, many times people call in about wanting to practice some of the Old Testament practices. Well, this would be a couple of the things that we would have to do. And that is, if we had an unruly child, then we would have to take them outside the town limits and the whole community would come together and stone them to death. And likewise, if anybody did not participate in the Passover or the Days of Unleavened Bread, then they also would be cut off. And so there are many other physical things that would and could and did take place in the Old Testament. But now we live under the new law. I'm sure some of y'all parents are glad about that. And so under the new law, what we see is in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, the very last one in that was that that we are to bless. Blessed are they that when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that we are to pray for them and not be distraught over that. We are to be able to bless those who curse us and pray for those who do all manner of evil against us. That's Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. Romans chapter 12 also brings out this fact as well, that we should, beginning with verse 14, I would encourage you to go through the rest of the chapter. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 14, all the way through the end, but just a few highlights. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. He goes on to say, if your enemy hunger, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to a wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I'm reading from verse 19. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And so there you can see that that would be in direct opposition, hurting others, as what the New Testament tells us. Now, you might say, well, what about chastening? In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the chastening of the Lord. And yes, that's right. And that we should count it all joy when we find ourselves under that kind of scrutiny by God, because that would mean that we're his children and that we're not fatherless. And so that would be a good thing for us to learn from such chastening as that. And it comes in many forms and fashion, including the admonition or directions from God's word. Then also parents are told to teach this to their children. Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, sometimes that's painful, isn't it? The wisdom of Proverbs shows that sometimes it would include corporal punishment. One other thing, the punishments in the New Testament are not corporal to one another, to people, but rather it is not capital punishment. We do not put them to death, not corporal punishment. We do not inflict pain. It is not economical punishment. We do not fine them. But many times when people get out of line, there is to be social punishment. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the whole chapter, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. Then also 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through the end of the chapter, talking about various other offenses that they were to withdraw from such a one, no, not to eat. And then and there's some others as well. So hopefully that will be helpful to you. Again, the passages were 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through the end, Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, verses 10 through the end of the chapter, Romans 12, and Matthew 5. That's probably more than you asked for. It's time for us to take our last break before the end of the program, so don't miss out on getting the Bible Correspondence Course. We're serious. We'll get it in the mail to you tomorrow. It is absolutely free. You very well may learn things you've never learned before. Don't miss out. Here's your opportunity. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we're happy that you've joined us, and we hope and pray that you're getting your questions answered. The number to call in your question is 308-9564. If you hurry right now, we might be able to get to your question. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick?
We have a caller calling in today about Christ and the church. He says, how many wives does Christ have? If the church is his wife and he has more than one wife, doesn't that make him an adulterer? Well, I sure absolutely appreciate your reasoning, because that would be the way I would reason. But if the premise, if I start off with the wrong premise, then my conclusion will be wrong. And so the premise is based on the idea that Christ has more than one wife or more than one church. And according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, Jesus said he was only going to build one church. He says, I'll build my church. And then the Bible shows us that the church itself is called the body of Christ. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, and he put all things under his, under Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ only has one body, according to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 lets us know that there's only one body and one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling. There's only one body. Christ only has one body. That body is the church. Colossians 1:18 refers to him as being the head over the body, the church. And then when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, going back to this idea of the church being his bride, It says in verse 25, husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He only has one church. And so I know where your question is coming from. He says, well, I go down the street and I see churches on every corner. Well, what you see is buildings on every corner. And so instead of Christ being an adulterer, who's the real adulterer? You see, if Christ only has one church, then I need to be part of that church. And if I'm not, if I'm part of anything else, then I am the adulterer. We sure appreciate you calling in. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
And go ahead and call right now to get your question in, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have an anonymous caller calling in this question. When and by whom was the Sabbath made? Very good question. Very good question. I would instruct you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3. I'm going to just read verse 3 so that you can get right to the answer. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 3. Let me start with verse 2. It says, and the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today. All of us who are alive. Okay, does that make sense? Here they are. They're around Mount Sinai or Horeb, whichever name you want to refer to it. And he says, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us who are here today. Now, this is Moses, of course, who is writing this by inspiration. Well, then the following verses list those commandments, the Ten Commandments, of which included the Sabbath day. Verse 12, observe the Sabbath and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. And then he gives an illustration. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And thus you can see that that covenant that he just elaborated on there is the new covenant of their day. That was not given to the fathers. Fathers being Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those that were before this day. And thus that law was given there new that day. Well, then you might say, well, how come in Genesis it says he created this the world in 6 days and on the seventh he rested and sanctified it? Well, let me remind you, who did God give to write the book of Genesis? That was Moses. That's right. When did he do it? He wrote the book of Genesis after this law was given there on Mount Sinai. And thus, he did sanctify that day. But he didn't sanctify it for everyone to keep as a Sabbath until the day they were there at Mount Sinai. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, write that down. Those of y'all that doubt that you probably want to check that out. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 3. Again, we're down to just a few minutes left. We will do our best to get to these questions. Nick?
Yeah, Michelle calls in. She says, you said that there is only one church. So let me just make that minor correction. When we look at the Scripture says there is only one church. So please don't take my word for it. You go look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. You look at Ephesians chapter 5. I believe I started somewhere around verse 25, 26. And then you have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, where the Bible says there's one body. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. So the Bible says that there's one church. And you said, you go further to say, are you talking about the church of Christ? Well, the Bible does refer to the church as a church of Christ. Or it says the churches of Christ in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. That phrase, churches of Christ, carries with the idea of the church that belongs to Christ. But it's not isolated to that reference. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both there and ours. So the Bible refers to the church as the body of Christ, refers to it as the bride of Christ, referred to it as the church of Christ, refers to it as the church of God. And so don't be deceived because of a name. Go in and find out whether or not they're doing what the Bible says, and then you'll find his church.
We have a text question. Is killing on death row a crime? Romans chapter 13 and verse 4 brings out that the government, the powers that be, the governing powers, have the right to bear the sword. And verse 4, it brings out Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. So hopefully that will help you with that question. And then another text question is, what is the generational curse? And I am always in financial struggle. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a generational curse in the Bible. As far as financial trouble, that may be due to the way that you are spending more than you make. And thus, that in itself, Romans 13 also addresses, where it says, I owe no man anything. And so that means we're supposed to live within our means. If we have food and if we have clothes on our back, we should be content. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 and 7 brings out. We are out of time, unless you can squeeze that one in right quick.
I can. Did Christ have anything to do with the creation? Here's the scriptures. John chapter 1 and verse 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, Colossians 1 verse 16, and Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. Again, that's John 1 verse 3, Ephesians 3 and verse 9, Colossians 1 verse 16, and Hebrews 1 and verse 2. And the answer is yes.
We are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please continue to join us week after week as we let the Bible speak.